it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
If I ventured in the slipstream.
This episode of Inside Golf Podcast is brought to you by RickRunGood.com. All of the stats, tools, and info that I will be discussing on this podcast can be found over at RickRunGood.com. It has been an incredibly great start to the fall swing. I did warn everyone that this is, in my opinion, the most profitable time of the golf year for me by a pretty healthy margin. We have hit Sahith at the Fortinet, Max Homa 11-1 top American scorer, Rory 9-1 top overall scorer at the Ryder Cup, as well as a bunch of other Ryder Cup bets. That was an 11-unit week. Luke Lest as well, 55-1 at the Sanderson Farms. Cooled off a little bit last week at the Shriners. That triple bogey from JT Poston sealed the deal for us, but we are still up over 25 units with a 251% ROI through 4 weeks of the 2023-2024 golf season. Just absolutely unheard of stuff through these first couple events. So to get my entire model, that is the number one reason why I've had so much success this year, not to mention access to me for any golf betting and DraftKings questions in the premium Slack channel. The place to go is rickrungood.com. That is where my course breakdown is. That is where I share my DraftKings core and ownership and the weather. All you have to do is you go to the sign up page, you type in code Andy. When you sign up, that is the important part, and you will have access to all of my golf information. It is an incredible deal for all of the info that you are getting on there. I do every week an over 3,000 word in-depth course breakdown. Gives you everything you need to know about the golf course, the players that are going to have success there, my full model. If you want to copy that model, if you want to tweak that model, maybe there's something in there that gets your mind spinning on something else, just use it as a resource, not to mention all of the data and info that the website simply just has on its own. It's the largest golf betting and DFS statistically focused database, golf database on the entire internet. And for questions for me as well, I mentioned that Slack channel is the place to go, not on Twitter. My Wednesday final DraftKings thoughts, the best ownership projections, model builder. As I mentioned, all the data that Rick already has on the site to do your own research. There's a massive opportunity right now with this fall swing if you're willing to do the legwork. I cannot emphasize that enough. So head on over to rickrungood.com, promo code Andy, and we would love to have you as part of that growing community. If you are an NFL guy, Ship It Nation is your place for all that. We are off to an incredibly hot start again in the NFL. I am posting all of my NFL picks in that Discord exclusively. That is the only place to get all of my NFL stuff, and you can use promo code Andy to take an extra 10% off. I love the board this week in the NFL, week 7. Week 6 killed us. I'm not one. I mean, we still went 1-2. It wasn't a death sentence, and hit our lock of the week, which was Rams -6. 1-2 is never a death sentence, and I'm not one to complain about bad beats, but Patriots +3. What are you doing, Mac Jones? What are you doing? That was one of the most inexplicable non-covers I can remember in quite some time. I can't complain about it. We've had a lot of breaks go in our direction in the NFL for the past 3 years. That's bound to happen sometimes, but I'm revving to go for this week in the NFL. I have bet 4 games already. I do the vast majority of my betting on Sunday night because the biggest skill that I have in NFL is basically understanding the market and knowing where the lines are going to move. And that is why it is so important to get into that Discord, because I post my bets on Sunday night, which is the vast majority of when I do my betting, exactly when I bet them. So all of those bets that I've made on Sunday night, those lines have already moved on a number of them. Some of them are still available, so I would still sign up now. That is how you beat the NFL, right? Is you get closing line value over a long period of time, right? It's all about understanding the market. It's all about understanding the schedule. I've preached this many times in this podcast, but that is the reason for success in NFL, or the reason where I have had success in NFL. I know there are many ways to get to the same conclusion. But for me, when you bet is most important. And that's why I cannot emphasize enough hopping in that NFL Discord. I would sign up now. Still a ton of the NFL season to go. We're only in week 7. Not to mention, you're getting all of the DFS content as well from Tambo and Hoop, who just had a couple more big DraftKings wins this week. It is a amazing community to be a part of, not just for the NFL betting insights that I provide. Ton of really smart DraftKings players in there as well. I talk golf in there in the PGA DraftKings Discord as well. There's a ton of different channels. You can kind of choose and curate what you're most interested in. If you're an NBA guy, NFL guy, NFL betting guy, NFL DraftKings guy, PGA DraftKings guy, Chip It has everything. So I kind of like to hop in there and just sometimes see what's going on in other sports. I've kind of started my NBA research already. I'm going to have a bunch of NBA over-unders, another market I've had a ton of success on in the last couple of years. I will post that in the Ship It Nation Discord exclusively. So strike while the iron is hot. ShipItNation.com, code Andy to get you that 10% off. And we would love to have you as part of that community. All right, coming up on this podcast, my good friend Ryan Baroff is coming on to talk all things Shriners, Tom Kim, Ludwig, Zozo Championship, and what's going on in the world of golf right now. So without further ado, let's bring on Ryan. All right, Ryan Baroff is here joining me for the Zozo Championship. We were just talking off air. It's not a tournament we have stats for. It is a tournament in Japan. The viewing times, I believe, for me in the West Coast, it's going to be on at like kind of prime time, which is interesting. I know you're still in Florida, right?
Yep.
So you're kind of getting into the beef of prime golf weather, huh?
So actually yesterday and today were our first two cool days. It's about 68 degrees right now. It's going to drop into the 50s overnight this week. It is absolutely glorious.
So how often are, I know you've got young kiddos, but yeah, how often are you able to get out there?
Not often. I would say, I mean, yeah, if I play 10 times a year, that's a good number for me right now.
Seriously?
It's tough, man. Well, and it's not just having kids, right? It's sports, right? Their sports are every Saturday morning, every Sunday morning.
I'm like so excited for that. Like, I feel like youth sports is going to be such a fun.
So it's fun, right? It's super fun for them, especially at like the really young age. Like my daughter's 5, like, you know, she plays flag football. She plays soccer. It's great. But like, even when they get to like 7 and 8, like they're now being mixed in with like the travel team kids.
Yeah.
And the travel parents. It is nuts, man. It's like barely enjoyable for my 8-year-old right now.
So you have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Yep. And we're pretty much keeping them like in the same sport. So they're both doing flag football now. We got soccer coming next. We got basketball coming next. So yeah, busy time of year for us.
Why not golf? I feel like I was having this conversation with one of my friends. I feel like if you start your kid, this is speaking from somebody that started playing golf really young.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you start your kid playing golf at a young age, it opens up so many doors for them just from a business and life standpoint, because that's the sport that's actually going to stick, not to mention how easy it is, like the scholarship opportunities for, you know, especially in women's golf versus getting a scholarship for something like football or basketball or soccer. I feel like, cause I have all my friends that work in finance now from New York City that I went to high school with that never played golf at all in high school and are like, why are you playing golf? Like I'm on the lacrosse team and the soccer team. And now they're like,
I should have played golf,
dude. Like my boss is a member at this club and like we have this golf outing. And it's like, I really wish that I started this earlier in life.
Yeah, no, we definitely will. He, my 8-year-old started lessons last year. It's tough here, you know, because number one, I want to get him playing team sports. Obviously, it's super important. And, you know, like people talk about those who live up north lose half the year to winter. Well, we lose half the year to summer.
Yeah.
I don't want to be outside. You can't be outside in the summer. It's hot. It's raining. But no, we'll definitely get out to the range a bunch of times this fall and winter.
Last question before we do, Zozo, have you played, because you're in Palm Beach area, right? Have you played the new Hants, the park?
No, I was supposed to play with Joe Idoni about a month and a half ago, but I don't know if we got rained out or we just had to reschedule, but I have not got up there yet, but I heard great things.
I've heard it's phenomenal. I don't know the next time I'm going to be in Florida, but I'll let you know because I'm absolutely, that's on my list. I've heard wonderful things from multiple people.
Yeah, I'm not a Gil Hans snob like you and a bunch of other folks, but yes, I've heard really good things.
More of a Justin Thomas, Jack Nicklaus collab Panther National guy, eagerly awaiting.
Greg Norman down here, those garbage ass golf courses that he builds.
Yeah, because you're Palm Beach, so right, or like greater Palm Beach area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's good golf down there.
We get, I mean, honestly, if I want to play good golf, I'll just go to the Naples, Fort Myers, West Coast area. I can get there in an hour and a half. There's a ton of good golf courses over there.
Speaking of good golf courses, any Narashino takes before we get into the odds board?
No, you know, I mean, I think
they pride themselves on like their architecture and conditioning. I actually think this is years down the road for me, but I think in Japan, I'm very intrigued to check out golf in Japan at some point in my life.
Yeah, like it's a whole, you know, it's almost like a sterile environment, right? Even though there are plenty of fans out there, you know, even like watching the Olympics, it was so quiet and calm and almost like they're playing in a COVID bubble where nobody's out there. But yeah, it's you know, it's a completely different style of golf. You know, we'll talk about it, but it's definitely, you know, more, it's more accuracy driven. You got to keep the ball in play, small greens, you got to make putts. But yeah, again, no stats. So it's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel here.
We can talk about some of these guys. I'll ask you some draft. Actually, before we dive right into the odds board, I just have, let's just put a bow on the Shriners really quickly.
Yeah.
I just have one question for you as kind of a wrap up for the Shriners that I was thinking about and talking about in one of my group chats this morning. And then we'll give the Zozo its proper due, but this is kind of the lingering thought I had walking away from the Shriners. I told you off air, I didn't watch a ton of this golf tournament. I kind of caught, it was finishing up semi-conveniently kind of in between the 1 PM games and Sunday Night Football. So I caught a little bit of the back nine, almost kind of by the time that Tom Kim had it wrapped up.
Yeah.
But the one thing I was thinking about coming out of that tournament was, who do you think finishes their career with a better career, Ludwig or Tom Kim?
Ludwig.
Okay, me too. But I was hearing it. One of my friends who's a smart golf mind who I very much respect was closer to the Tom Kim side of that one. And I think the Tom Kim argument is, this is a guy that is 3 years younger than Ludwig somehow, somehow has a 3-win PGA Tour head start. Now you can discredit those 3 wins
however
you want. I certainly will. And while Ludwig is certainly built for modern PGA Tour golf and probably more built for modern like major championship golf, are we surprised if at the end of his career, Tom Kim has won like the Heritage and the Wyndham seven times each. You know what I mean? Like he is, as long as there's a wedge in his hands, and mm-hmm. that is what a lot of PGA Tour golf courses have been diminished to. Kind of the reason why many people thought, I'm not going to do the, is Tom Kim what we wanted Colin Morikawa to be? We're not even close to that.
The guy, yeah, guy who won two majors and like five stars.
I'm gonna keep that one in the oven for a couple more years. But like the point being is, when Colin started off that crazy hot start to his career, mm-hmm. the reason why people were so bullish on Colin's long-term prospects is because there are so many PGA Tour golf courses, be it Colonial, Shriners, mm-hmm. Summerlin, Sedgefield, Heritage, DBZ River Highlands, like all those spots, like when it's all about putting from 5 to 15 feet and wedge play from inside 150 yards, like that is what Tom Kim is pretty damn elite at already at 21 years old.
Yeah. So I tend to agree. I definitely don't want to put Tom Kim in a bucket, but we kind of know what he is already. Right.
Right.
And I think if you want to look at some career arcs and, you know, potential comps for him, I think there's one extremely obvious one, and that's Webb Simpson. He's already winning at the same golf courses. So if Tom Kim finished his career with 8 wins, 1 major, 1 players, like that's Webb Simpson. And I think, right.
But Webb was more of a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you may see 12 wins and 1 or 2 majors and 1 or 2 players. Like,
yeah.
I think the thing about Ludwig is he has a skill set that is going to open up so many more opportunities and so many more golf courses.
I agree.
Now, I will say Tom played really well at the majors, better than I expected him to play this year. But yeah, I'm taking Ludwig. Not even close for me.
I agree. I actually think that what Ludwig did at the Shriners was almost as impressive as what Tom Kim did when you consider the spot. Mm-hmm. Like this was the all-time bad spot for Ludwig. And I was pretty outspoken about fading him in the pre-tournament content that I did, because my logic was, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're 24 years old, and I don't care if you're flying privately. You're hopping 3 time zones in 11 days. Like the guy went straight from Rome to Jackson, Mississippi to Vegas. This just felt like the ultimate easy, you know, a team coming back from their London game, playing another team off a bye. Like this just felt like the ultimate fade Ludwig spot based on scheduling. And the dude was like kind of almost, I mean, he finished way too early, but he shot 9 under on Sunday, finished top 7, which is just pure on a golf course that I actually thought devalued what he's best at. Like that is a golf course, in my opinion, that devalues elite long driving, because even the shorter players are going to have a wedge in their hands on 13 out of 18 holes.
I agree. I think the only thing that I'll say is I don't think we were necessarily wrong, because it was kind of smoke and mirrors for him over the weekend. Yeah. He gained 3 strokes around the green on Saturday, and he gained more than that putting on Sunday when he shot 62. So like you turn that 62 into a 65 and he's like T25 or something. But yeah, he's incredible, man. He can make 10 birdies any day on any golf course.
Maybe the better question is, because now my mind's spinning with this, are you taking Ludwig over Colin Morikawa, who finishes with a better career? 2 major head start for Morikawa.
Hard to give a 2 major head start. Right. I will take Ludwig in total career wins over Colin. But I think that 2 major, you know, I think any new guy coming up, the major over under is probably 1.5. Like, I don't think you can go above that. I mean, even for a guy like Victor Hovland, like he could win 1 major and he's the best player in the world right now. So
they're so hard to get.
There's not many of them, and so many good golfers.
Right. Okay. I'm glad we had that debate. That was something that I was kind of stewing on coming out of the Shriners. Let's talk about the Zozo. Let's go through the odds board. We can talk about some of these guys in a DraftKings context too, although I don't remotely have much of an ownership sense on Monday, especially in these fall swings events. Like, it's pretty impossible to get any sense on ownership until at least Tuesday, in my opinion, because not only are less people playing these events, but I mean, there's just not as much content either. So you're not even getting the guys that are logging on the sites and building lineups on Monday night. Like if they're playing, they're waiting a little bit later in the week, right? So
yep.
Looking at the odds board, Xander, 8-1. Colin Morikawa, 11-1. Sungjae, 14. Hideki, 16. Fowler, 16. Minwoo, 18. Sahith, 18. Cameron Davis, 20. Those are the guys I have below 20-1. Mm-hmm. Have you made any moves?
I did make one.
We talked about this earlier. And I don't think the number was necessarily value, I would say, but it did drop pretty quickly and it did open at some shorter numbers elsewhere. But I did take Minwoo Lee at 20-1.
I think it's very tournament he won. It was that DP World or
no? It was very it was an Asian tour, nothing. But he's doing some stuff over there. He's staying because he's playing like in Hong Kong, I think next week or the week after. So he's going on his world tour because he plays all year round, right? He goes back to Australia over the winter and plays probably three events down there. But he doesn't win enough, and I think he knows that, and I think he's going to go pick off a couple of these things. He is like my one to watch next year. He kind of started it this year where popped up the players, popped up at some majors, was in contention multiple times, but he is so good, and he can beat you a number of ways. He hits it 350 off the tee. He can putt really well. He's got a great short game, and he can get hot with the irons. Like, that was always his weakness, but I obviously like that he's been over here and I like that he's been playing good golf. One of the reasons why I was super high on Tom Kim last week was the same thing. Like, he's been playing golf. He came over to Europe, played a couple events and carried that momentum right into the Shriner. So Minwoo was my only lean up here at the top.
I don't have stats from the SJM Macau Open, but it looks like he gained 24 strokes to the field.
Yeah,
did he win by it. Like 10?
He was like 10 ahead of third place. There was one guy within four or five of him, but yeah, he was like 10 ahead of third place.
Yeah, the other thing I'd add on Minwoo, I didn't go in that direction. You'll understand why in a second when I reveal who I bet, but the guy's like finishing top 10 at Sawgrass, right into LACC, right into TPC River Highlands,
yep,
right into the K Club, right into Wentworth. That speaks to a guy that is kind of course proof, in my opinion, right? Like, he has the skill set to succeed at many different types and styles of golf courses because of the distance. This is probably going to be a player that's going to be a threat. Does he have a full PGA Tour card? Like, are we going to see him at places like Torrey and Bay Hill and places like that next year?
So, yes, but he needs to get some invites because obviously he's not in the top 50 on the PGA Tour points list. But yeah, he's going to get one of the 10 cards from the DP World Tour. But I do expect him to get a ton of sponsors invites, obviously.
Okay, so I did something I rarely do, but it's something I have somehow find myself in the habit of doing every single year at this tournament. I bet Xander single bullet, 8-1. Now, here's the case. You mentioned this in part of your reasoning for Minwoo. I think there's something to be said. I think this is a relatively straightforward golf course. Like, I think once you get here, there's not a lot of tricks to it. It's tree lined, it's narrowed. It kind of reminds me a lot of Colonial. There's a little Harding Park in there, some of the places that I've looked at. But Xander has played this tournament three times. He has two top 10 finishes and three starts, a ninth and a 10th. He has strong family ties to Japan on his mother's side. And I like guys that have done the deal in Asia, right? Like, Xander knows where he's staying. He knows who's coming with him. It's a big thing for his family. He plays here every year. He won the gold medal on a very similar Japanese golf course. He's probably staying in the exact same spot where he won the gold medal, eating at the same restaurants. Those golf courses are not incredibly far away from him. And then if we get into the nuts and bolts of the actual golf course, like Bent Grass is his preferred surface. He has this incredibly strong track record of success at these mid-scoring bent grass, semi-narrow, smaller greens, golf courses. I don't really subscribe to the no cut thing as much as some others do, but he's back playing again for an $8.5 million purse. I don't think we're going to have to worry about the garrulous distractions of his father at the Ryder Cup. I think his Ryder Cup performance was bad. I also think it's worth noting that he was one of the only guys that didn't go to practice rounds. And a lot of that Ryder Cup was putting. Like, he could not buy a thing all week at Marco Simone. And you go back and look at the guy's last stroke play start, and he's shooting all the way up the leaderboard at Eastlake, gaining over 7 strokes on approach, which I think is a better metric to look at than what we saw at Marco Simone. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was close on him. If I play any DFS this week, I can't imagine building a team without Xander.
Yeah.
I don't prescribe to the no cut thing either. Although I will say, obviously, not having a cut will lessen the variance of this event.
Right. The you best give him players, 4 rounds. The cream rises to the top in no cut events. That's why best players play good in no cut events.
Yeah. But yeah, I've got nothing bad to say about him. I know you probably have the information handy, but has he been over in Europe and Asia the last 3 weeks just hanging out?
I don't know that. That's a good question. I can ask Austin.
I doubt he flew back to California. Well, I guess he could have flown back to California. It's not a it's not a huge trip back over there.
You know, he stayed in Rome for a
while. That's right. They were at the wedding, right?
He was at the wedding.
He's probably been hanging out. Yeah.
And he weirdly cares about this event because, you know, his whole mom's side of the family is from Japan.
Yeah. And I mean, after winning the gold medal, he's an adopted son there now anyhow.
Right. Speaking of adopted sons, I will say this. I actually think the Hideki number is, if I wasn't going in the direction of Xander, I would go in the direction of Hideki. I don't understand why Sungjae is lower than Hideki on the odds board. I also, at this golf course, and Colin may actually be the low-owned answer in DraftKings, but I really don't understand why Hideki isn't like a co-favorite at this tournament.
I think there's still some injury concerns. We haven't obviously seen a lot of him. Yeah, with Sungjae, he's coming off a trip to Korea where he finished second. Last time he went to Korea, he won an event. So I think, and the Asian Games as well, where they won the team gold medal. I just think he's been playing golf. He's been playing good golf, and the books certainly value that.
You know who actually might be the low-owned play in DraftKings because I think his stock is so low is Ricky, who did finish runner-up here last year. Now, we have no sense of ownership, but I would be just perusing Twitter this morning. I would be shocked if Ricky nears. Like, I've even seen some Sungjae love. I would be shocked if Ricky near, and not to mention the fact that like Sahith just won and Cam Davis is playing unbelievable.
Yeah.
Ricky feels like the forgotten man here.
I would agree with that. Yes. And I think Hideki's still going to get ownership because he's priced down. He's priced at 9,800 when, you know, any normal week here, he's the 11K guy, right, with Xander. So yeah, Ricky will be low on this week. I don't know how I feel about it. I assume he's fine. But I think if I did pivot off Xander, I would just go to Morikawa, who, again, the stock feels super low. He had a really good year. He didn't win, but he had a really good year. Sucked ass at the Ryder Cup. There's no denying that. I can't get out of my head how many fairways and greens he missed. That was the most infuriating thing, watching him around that golf course. Because he should have been perfect. He should have been like the anchor for that U.S. team, but
he got benched for Hartman. From what I've heard, like coming in, that him and Homa, the Cal pairing, was what they were going to go to. And based on the practice rounds, I was told this by somebody that has a little more insight into the matter than I do. They played the practice rounds and Hartman was just like outplaying him.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird. And like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to talk Ryder Cup. ZJ obviously didn't have much of a plan. I mean, he fucking benched Scottie Scheffler when they're down 5. Like, come on.
I've done hours on this. I know you're preaching in the choir.
Yeah, that was bad. But yeah, I think Colin is obviously going to be low on relative to Xander. And again, he makes perfect sense at this golf course.
Okay. So you have, I gave my cards away. Single
Xander, players. Xander and Xander, right?
But I think this 20 to 50 range is interesting. And there's still a lot of guys I like in here for DraftKings purposes, but like Keegan, Adam Scott, Eric Cole's playing phenomenal golf. Then you get to the 40s with Shank and Svensson and Hostler and Hoshgaard and Aaron's playing really good golf, as you've mentioned to me. So like, who in this range are you targeting?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard not to play Eric Cole, but like the narrative has shifted so far on Eric Cole. I mean, we were playing him back in the spring when he was 6,700. No one had heard of him, right? And now he's 9K in these fields and taking over. But yeah, I mean, he makes a lot of sense. Keegan, I think Keegan has to get ownership here. You obviously look at the course history, 3 really good tournaments for him, including the win last year. People are going to make up whatever Ryder Cup snub narrative they want to make up about him. But it's a good fit for him. And obviously, he likes coming here and playing this event. I pretty much skipped this range, although I will say my next bet, which I bet at 66, was down to about 40 now, and that's Alex Norton. I could talk about Alex Norton forever. I mean, one of the biggest Alex Norton truthers. Still think he's a top 50 player in the world. Like, the signs are there. Alex Norton was always a really, really good iron player and a really good putter. All of last year, the short game was there. He putted well. He chipped well. His irons were spotty, but overall they were fine. He couldn't drive the golf ball. It's not long anymore. He wasn't accurate, but the signs are there. He played really, really well at Shriners last week. He was great off the tee, one of the top strokes gained approach. And again, a proven winner around the world. This guy won 9 times in Europe in a very, very short period of time. I'm still bullish on him. And at 66-1, love Alex Norton this week.
Have you heard, because he's in your neck of the woods, have you heard the Alex Norton practice stories? Because I have one friend at the Bears Club, which is where Norton practices, and you basically have to pull him off the range. Like he will hit golf balls until he cannot grip a club anymore. Is the book on Alex Norton at the Bears Club.
He's always been that way. I mean, even when he was a top 10 player in the world, he had all the same drills. He was beating balls. He was just beating himself up and probably contributed to him sucking for the last 3 years. But I feel like he's back. Like, he's had, like, the stats are still up and down, but like, he had, I think, three top 5 finishes in a row to start the season last fall. He had a couple of top 10s in Europe, 9th at the Rocket Mortgage, 13th at the 3M, 3rd last week at the Shriners. Like, those are the sort of events that are showing me that the signs are still there.
If I was playing any, if I was betting anyone in this range, and this is going to be a key piece for me in DraftKings, I really like what JJ Spahn is doing right now. JJ Spahn's quietly playing some really good golf. And I do think this is the type of golf course. He had another, like, it was a middling finish at the Shriners, but he still hit the ball really well. And I think this is the type of golf course he's played over here before. I believe he kind of had so at least he's done it. I like guys who have done it. And then the only other guy I'll mention before we talk about some longer guys, I think you want to buy the dip on Griot right now, is what I will say, at least from a DraftKings side of it. He's actually like not as cheap as I was hoping for.
Yeah.
But I think that because he's been terrible this fall swing, I think it's a semi-good buy low spot on Griot on a golf course. I mentioned Colonial. He had a fourth here last year. Like, I think it's a good spot for Griot.
Yeah. I mean, you never have to sell me on him. And yeah, the price is right to where he's certainly going to be probably 6 to 7% owned maximum. I'm just not a spawn guy. I don't know what it is. I feel like, and again, maybe it's the small sample size of the one event that he won, but I feel like spawn's not going to go out there and make 25 birdies. Do you maybe I have that
this,
wrong.
Do you need to on this course though? Like it's 15 under pretty much every year.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's some bogeys out there, probably not too many big numbers, but yeah, I guess I just don't have any read on spawn. Like when I think he's a good play, he's super popular and like 35-1.
Yeah.
And then he won at what? 150, 200-1, something like that. I think you remember that one.
It was 210-1. I remember that one. I remember that one very well. Okay. Let me ask you this. Yep. I'll ask you an either or. Højgaard or Norman, who do you prefer?
I would say Højgaard just because I think he's on the upward trend of playing his best golf. And I think, I mean, Norman obviously has a full career ahead of him, but he's coming off the heater where he won Barbasol, won the Irish Open. And, you know, I think the sophomore slump is going to be real for him, even though I'm super bullish on Norman long term.
Yeah, but, me too.
I definitely like Nikolai here quite a bit.
Shank or Svensson?
Svensson, again, I'll take, yeah, me too. I mean, Shank went on a heater at the end of last year. Obviously, I think he's a very solid player, but I like the upside and the consistency of Svensson a little bit. I think Svensson's a great DK player. I didn't bet him this week. Again, it's too short, but like, I think he's very underpriced for who he is in this field.
As we move down a little bit more, mm-hmm. Who's your next bet after Noren?
Yeah, so the numbers have kind of shifted around a little bit, but I took four guys in that 80 to 100 range. I'll first start with my last cut, which was Cameron Champ. He's just playing really well.
I like am so outspoken on my disdain for Cameron Champ. I just think I think that there is not a golfer that gets less out of his talent than Cameron Champ.
Oh totally. Yeah.
He swings so his ability to hit the ball 350 yards effortlessly, he should sleepwalk into, and I guess you can kind of make the argument he already has, but he should sleepwalk into a couple of times contending every year.
Yeah. Well, so just like you have your sweet spot for JJ Spahn, Cameron Champ won me GPP at the Masters 2 years ago. So with his eagles and birdies, he made I'll never forget that Sunday, I think he had like eight or nine birdies, but he made a quad and a triple on the two par threes and still won the GPP.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's been playing really well. I don't think this course fits him, but he did finish eighth here last year. Obviously don't know how he did it, but he did it. So my next bet in terms of odds was 80-1 on Cage Lee. I think, again, I like that
he's down to like 40 now in a lot of
spots. He crashed. Yeah, he was 80-1 this morning. Sneakily, coming out of the slump, he was miserable this summer. I think he missed like 8 out of 9 cuts or something. But 14th at the Fortinet and then 7th last week where he gained in all 4 strokes gain categories. He has played here twice. Best finish is 18th, so don't love that. But he's obviously from Korea, but he played on the Korean tour and the Japanese tour for a handful of years. Probably knows this golf course and knows the types of golf courses really well. And I think he's just exactly what you're looking for. He's a great iron player, not going to make big numbers. And he's definitely a guy who I want to play when he is in form.
I like Cage Lee a lot too. I think, again, most so for DraftKings for me, but 80-1, I can't argue with that number whatsoever.
He's way too cheap for DraftKings. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the guys, if we're looking at, cause this has all of the makings of like a group think extravaganza. And it seems like we may already be getting there with like Joel Damon could be like in the higher stakes, because I was kind of attempting to make a pool. And I just don't have that many guys that I like under 7.5K. And I would imagine that some of the people that are entering a lot of lineups or even playing a few number of lineups in high stakes contests, like the group of players that you have to pick from to fill out your lineups, I think a lot of people are going to kind of conglomerate around the same choices.
So I cringed because the first thing that happened when I bet Joel Damon today and tweeted Joel Damon Kirshner today is that I get a message from Kirshner, which tells me where the masses are. Right. And look, it's 100-1, like whatever. He's playing great. I think he makes a lot of sense. He finished 64, 65, 66 last weekend. Like that's all I have to see. I will say though, for DraftKings purposes, I agree he's going to be super high owned. I do think there are some good pivots there, not just with the Japanese guys that we'll talk about, but we mentioned no-cut events lowering the variance. I think there are two long-term form guys there in Nick Taylor and Taylor Moore.
Yeah.
That are probably going to be pretty low owned relative to where, I mean, Taylor Moore just made the tour championship. Nick Taylor won this year. And as did Taylor Moore. I'm going to hammer those two in that range, which will help me get off Joel Damon.
You know who I also really like, and this is another guy that played pretty well at the Shriners, Twitter sensation, Michael Kemp. He's telling us his tendonitis is done. I mean, he's actually really like starting to come around as an iron player. We started to see signs of it towards the end of last year. I think he had, as I'm sure many people remember, like lost it completely.
Yep.
But does have the type of upside to, you know, gain 15. He is like, I still think behind Cantlay, I think his John Deere week is like the second greatest putting performance of the strokes gain era. But anyway, I'm not doing it because of his putter. Like he's actually starting to hit the ball really well right now.
Yeah.
So I think Michael Kim is somebody I would go to in that 7,500 range. And then think some decent 7,600 flop lag on Hubbard too.
Totally. It's perfect cup. I mean, did he miss the cup by one last week?
Yeah. And with a shot 6 under on Friday.
And he should have won the Sanderson. God bless Luke List, but he should have won the Sanderson. I definitely like that. I think the other one there, Akshay is going to get the ownership, obviously. Lee Hodges is 7,300. That dude just won an event by like 10. And he played fine at the Sanderson. Like that's a guy who I think, again, you look at long-term form and players here that I'm very bullish on, he is probably atop the list in that range.
Talk about some of the, so have you made any plays on some of the Asian tour players, the Kita Nakajimas, Takumi Kanaya, Ryu Hisatsune?
Yeah, for sure. So I didn't bet Nakajima, but I still do like him a lot as a DraftKings play. So basically him and Takumi Kanaya have just run the tour this year. They are pretty much 1 and 2 in like every event. I think Nakajima's won twice and has 7 other top 5 finishes. Kanaya's won 3 times this year and has a handful of other top 5 finishes. So in terms of form from that tour, it's definitely those two guys. Kanaya, he finished 7th here a couple years ago. And I believe it was last year he made a run at the match play. I think he lost in the round of 16, something like that, but he got out of his pod. I like them quite a bit. I did bet Kanaya at 90-1. I had no intention of betting him, but I fell into the trap of, I saw him open at 40, 45 in some places, and then Rivers dropped to 90. And I'm just like, well, someone's wrong. One of these books is wrong. So I'll just take it. And then I did bet Ryo Hisatsune. I don't know if he has the upside to win. Obviously, just won the Open de France, finished 12th here.
I love how you just drop, obviously, just won the Open de France.
I
would imagine anyone listening to the Zozo pod that's this deep in the
probably knows
podcast in fall probably
does. That was one of the most painful. So I had bet him probably 3 times this summer and he got close but never got there. And that was the week BK and I had Jordan Smith, who led by 6 with 15 holes to go, couldn't even get in the playoff. That was fun. But yeah, he's been playing great and he's done it. So 12th here and then finished 10th at the Barracuda. So he's done it, you know, in similar slash stronger fields. I don't know if he can win, but I mean, a top 10 bet or you get some places on him. He is extremely young as well for a guy who's been out there forever. And he doesn't look young. He's 21 years old. So he's just kind of been out there, started earlier than a lot of these guys. So he's got, you know, very, very bright future ahead of him.
He seems to be an insane putter.
He
Not
is.
That he's a bad ball striker, because he just, in the winning the Kazoo Open, he gained 10.6 ball striking, but 5.7 putting.
He hits every fairway too, which is what you need to do here.
9.1 putting at the Czech Masters, 6.3 putting at the Barracuda, 3.8, 3.7, 7.3, 4.3, 4.5, 7.2, 6.5. A lot of those I would think are on bent grass too. So
that's he hits every fairway and he can putt. So I think at a course like this, it's going to keep him competitive for sure.
Any long shots before we get out of here? I don't have many. I like Justin Lauer a little bit. I like Austin Eckroat a little bit, but like I said, I think it gets pretty bleak.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll just go through really quickly and just name a couple who I think are going to be overowned. So, you know, guys who I would probably stay away from. So obviously Ryder at flat 7K is going to continue to be popular.
Yeah.
I think Matt Neesmith at 6,800 is also going to be popular. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So you mentioned Lauer. I think at that same price range, Zach Blair, you know, he's kind of cooled off a little bit, but he's played really well.
He's opening a golf club, though.
I know, but the guy just finished second at the Travelers, and he's like making every cut. He makes plenty of birdies. Yeah. He hits every fairway and can putt. So like, I think that makes a lot of sense here. I think Kevin Yu will get a little bit of ownership, but I'm not there. In terms of just course fit, like, I mean, Mack Hughes, that's a guy that I would play here at like 2% owned at 6,600. You know, he could finish third here and like easily. No one would bat an eye. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easily. So I would go. Yeah. So I think my theme again for, you know, trying to build low owned DraftKings teams is take the long term form. Mack Hughes, Nick Taylor, Lee Hodges. I would take those guys over, you know, a very, very chalky Joel Damon.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think it's a pretty adequate Zozo breakdown.
Yeah. Wait. So before we get out, can you give me as an NFL bettor your unbiased opinion of the Cleveland Browns?
You guys have an unbelievable defense. Like, I was all over that. I'm kicking myself for not hitting the money line, but I that was a relatively easy. I think PJ Walker could move the ball. I didn't like the, what was it, DTJ guy that you had before, but
DTR. He's a kid, you know.
Right. Well, I'm not like super high on your guys' playoff prospects, but I think you have all the makings of a really good regular season team. Like, if you look at your guys' schedule, there are a couple swing games where it's going to be, I was actually just going through this, so I have this up in front of me, but like, there's going to be a lot of games coming up in the next 4 or 5 weeks where you guys are going to be in between like 3-point favorites and 3-point underdogs, like at the Colts, at the Seahawks, at the Ravens, home against the Steelers, on the road against the Broncos, on the road against the Charge or the Rams, home against the Jaguars. But then you also have a couple bunnies in there. Home against the Cardinals, home against the Browns, home against the Jets. And then that week 18 game against the Bengals, I think, is probably going to be for one of the final wildcard spots, if I had to make a guess. But I do like your schedule a lot.
Yeah, I do too. And
I think, I agree. I mean, like, defense is obviously built for the playoffs and built for a championship when the weather gets bad. But I want to win the division. I mean, they've won the division one time in my life. And I was 2 years old. I don't remember it.
So obviously. Are you from Cleveland?
Yeah, born and raised.
Did not know that. Did not.
So they won last division title was 1989. So if I could get that, baby steps, I would take it.
I think the roadmap is there. I like the Ravens. And I do think that the Bengals are going to not go quietly into the night. Like, I don't think that this is going to end up being some season from hell from the Bengals where they're uncompetitive. Mm-hmm. I like their schedule less than the Browns, but
yeah,
I think the roadmap is there. The Ravens have a lot of those swing games too. Like the Ravens, that week 10 at Baltimore, that two game stretch, week 10 at Baltimore, week 11 home against the Steelers. That's
Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore pisses me off because they don't, like, beyond Lamar, they don't have a very good running game, don't have a very good offensive line, don't have good receivers, good
weapons outside of Andrews. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Zay Flowers is going to be good, not quite there yet, but, and the defense is banged up, but they find a way to win these games. It's infuriating. And like the Bengals got a fucking gift from Geno Smith yesterday. Like, they had no business winning that game. So, but the Browns got away with one too. So
all the other, not that I think Deshaun Watson is anything special at this stage of his career, but every single quarterback in that division has injury concerns or is not.
Yeah.
Like Kenny Pickett is been terrible this year outside of like one drive a game. Like, I don't understand how the Steelers are 3-2. Lamar's always a massive injury risk. Burrow.
Totally.
Is still putting like band-aids on a bolt wound. Like Burrow has not been mobile this year. Like I have him on every single fantasy team.
Yep.
I underestimated that injury. Like that was one of the things that I got wrong in my season long fantasy. At least Chase is starting to pay off for me, but like, I don't think that this Bengals offense is, they're not going to be bad like we saw in the first two or three weeks, but they're not going to be as explosive as they need to be to like run up the score and create separation with their offense.
Yeah, totally. No, the only thing that I'll say about Burrow is I knew something was up when I remember back in preseason when Chase said he wanted him to sit out through the bye week.
Yeah.
That was weird. Like, why would you want him to wait until week six to play? So, but yeah, I'm just glad the Browns had a game go their way. I'm glad that they're competitive. Usually by this time we are 1-4 or 1-5 and moving on.
You like them against the Colts this week on the road?
I was talking to Joe about this. It seems like there's absolutely no way they can lose that game to the Colts, but you don't say that with the Browns. Like Minshew looked horrible.
Terrible.
It seems like they just ruled Richardson out for the year, which is not surprising, but also, you know, kind of sucks for him. But yeah, they have to win that game. Like they're so much better than the Colts.
The Chubb thing was a really big bummer. That's the final thing I'll say, because this team turns into, I don't know about a Super Bowl contender, but they turn into a force to be reckoned with an awesome running game. And I just don't know if Jerome Ford's that guy. And Chubb is, in my opinion, maybe like a top three talent at the running back position in the NFL.
Yeah. And like, I would say there's a significant chance that he doesn't play again for the Browns.
I guess.
So he was already going to be out probably half, like kind of through the start of next year, but in a month or so, he has to have ACL reconstructive surgery. So he probably is not coming back till 2025. At that point, that's the last year of his contract. How do you pay a guy who shredded his knee twice? Same knee.
Especially at that position.
Oh, yeah, just dropped another touchdown.
Everyone's already cutting contact. All right. Yeah. That's our cue to watch second half of this Monday Night Football game. Anything you got to plug before we get out of here?
No, just excited for a little bit of an off season coming up. Not that there's too much, but going to just enjoy the kids, enjoy some football, and I'll be reading all your stuff, of course.
Awesome. Good to see you, my friend. We'll do it again soon, buddy. Thanks for joining me.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right. That is it for the podcast. We will be back next week with something. I got a couple fun gimmicks up my sleeve because there's no golf tournament, I believe. I think we got nothing next week and then Mexico the following week. So until then, best of luck with your bets this week, and we will see you next time. Cheers.
If I ventured in the slipstream between the viaducts of your dream, where mobile steel rims crack and the dead center back road stop.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.